let's open in a word of prayer. Father, we thank you for this glorious day. We thank you for the opportunity to come together to remember what you have done as you have conquered the grave. You've defeated death. Lord, you've defeated sin. And Lord, you are alive forevermore. And we thank you that you're here in our midst. And I pray that your Holy Spirit would bring conviction upon hearts that don't know you. I pray that there would be people who have been straddling the fence, would be brought into the presence of Jesus, and they would realize how awesome you are, that you are the one that loves them. You laid down your life on that cross. You shed your blood so that we could be cleansed and forgiven of all of our sins, so that we could come into your presence, into your family, and dwell with you forever and ever. And so, Father, we just commit this service to you. Pray that you be blessed and glorified. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, we don't just believe in the resurrection of Jesus Christ because we have blind faith, as some people accuse us of having. Not at all. But as Acts 1:3 tells us, we have many infallible proofs, or we have many indisputable evidences that Jesus Christ rose from the dead. In other words, Jesus showed himself alive after the crucifixion by appearing to many people over a 40-day period. He proved to them time and time again that he rose up, that he defeated death, that he conquered sin. And it's a fact that all the disciples saw Jesus Christ alive. The Apostle Paul says that over 500 people at one time saw Jesus Christ alive. Many disciples watched as Jesus ascended up into heaven right before their very eyes. And it's a fact that millions upon millions of lives have been radically saved and radically changed by Jesus Christ over the last 2,000 years as he has forgiven us of our sins and as he has given us the hope of heaven. But all the evidence in the world will not change a person's heart unless they see their need for their sins to be washed away, unless they see their need for God's salvation. But for millions of people who were once living in discouragement and defeat and despair of this life, Jesus has come into our lives and he's given us a glorious new life. He has turned our discouragement into hope. He has turned our defeat into victory. And he's turned our despair into faith and trust in God's word. The risen, living Jesus can do the same for anybody and everybody that will humble themselves and say, Lord, I need you as my Lord and Savior. And the reason I know that's true is because Jesus Christ came into my life 35 years ago, and he's been living inside of me ever since, and he's made radical changes. He has washed away all of my sins. He's filled me with the Holy Spirit. He's brought me out of darkness and despair, and he has given me his love, his joy, his peace, things you're not going to get in this world, things you're not going to get from relationships in this world, things you'll only receive by coming to Jesus Christ, the author and finisher of our faith. And so, because of the resurrection, Jesus not only lives in my heart, all of us in here who know the Lord and who have called upon Jesus, he lives in your heart, and you've experienced these changes. You know for certain that he is real, that he is true, and you cannot have a better friend than Jesus Christ. You cannot have a more intimate relationship than the relationship that Jesus desires for you to have with him, because he is alive. He's risen from the dead, and he wants you to be his disciple, and he calls us friends. He's not mad at us. He loves us. And so the real question is, what do you think about Jesus, and then what are you going to do about him? And it's really the most important question because it demands an answer. God requires a response. There is no neutral ground with God. You're either for God or you're against him. You either receive him or you reject him. A person will either follow him or they'll turn away from him. And I personally believe that the reason most people don't follow Jesus is because they don't really know him. And what little they do know about him, it's usually distorted. It's usually a little bit skewed. It's not very accurate. And so they often reject Jesus without even really knowing anything about him. And so what I want to do is hopefully introduce you to who Christ is based on the word of God. And there's an old saying that I really believe is true, and it's to know him is to love him. To know Jesus is to love Jesus. In other words, the more you know him, what he has done for you, how much he really loves you, what he has planned for your life, what he has planned for your future, will simply blow you away, because when you get to know him, then you fall madly in love with him, and you just want to be with him, and you just realize he'll never leave you or forsake you. And it's love that is beyond comprehension. It's love that is indescribable. It's love for God that just keeps growing and growing as the years go by. And so the question is often asked, do you really know him? Do you really know Jesus Christ, the Jesus of the Bible? And then once you know him, once you know who he is, then the question becomes, will you receive him or will you continue to reject him? Now, let me just say this. Everything that we need to know about Jesus Christ, everything that we need to know concerning his nature, his character, his deity, his humanity, his preexistence, his sinless life, his miraculous ministry, his substitutionary sacrifice for our sins, the power of his cleansing, redeeming blood, the fact that he died on the cross and he was buried in the tomb and he rose on the third day, the fact that he ascended up into heaven, the fact that he is coming back any moment for his bride to take us home to be with him, and then he's coming back with his church to set up his kingdom on the earth for 1,000 years. He's going to rule and reign in righteousness. We don't just come up with these ideas on our own. It's all found here in God's Word, the Bible. And that list I just mentioned doesn't even include what Jesus thinks about you personally, what he has in store for you individually, how he wants to shower you with grace, how he wants to shower you with his mercy, and how he wants to speak words of peace and comfort to your heart and strengthen you when you're weak and pick you up when you fall and be there for you to cast all your cares upon him and forgive you of all of your sins and encourage you when you're down, when you're discouraged, how he hears us when we pray, how he heals our broken hearts, how he sets us free from those things that bind us. He blesses us for no reason at all, because he's a God of grace and mercy. He delivers us from evil, and he rescues us from danger, and he frees us from pain and sorrow. He fills us with the Holy Spirit, who produces God's love within our hearts. And it's the Holy Spirit that enables us to walk in such a way that we see the Lord, and we know the Lord, and we experience moment by moment his goodness and grace towards us. I could go on and on about all that Jesus has done for us and is doing in us and will do in the future for us. I mean, he's justified us if you've come to Christ. He is sanctifying us as we walk in this life. He will glorify us in the future when we stand in his presence, and how he wants to be your best friend, your provider, your protector, your savior, the Lord over your life. But once again, the more you know him, the more you love him. The more you know about him, the more you want to walk with him and put off the things of this world that are trying to steal, kill, and destroy your life, things that are contrary to God's word. But if you're not born again, if you don't have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, then you're missing out on one of the greatest, most amazing plans and purposes God has for you. And his greatest plan is eternal life. And he wants you to have eternal life with him. What is eternal life? Jesus says, this is eternal life. In John chapter 17, verse 3, this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. To know him is to love him. To know God and to know Jesus is to experience eternal life. And that begins the moment you receive him into your life. And so the question is, do you know him today? What a glorious day to receive Christ. What a glorious day to become born again. The day that we celebrate him rising from the grave, conquering the dead, conquering sin, and rising up victoriously. We celebrate his resurrection this glorious day. If you have a Bible, turn with me to Luke chapter 24, as I want to read through the Gospel of Luke's encounter in his perspective on the reality of the resurrection of Jesus. It says in Luke chapter 24, verse 1, "Now on the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they and certain other women with them came to the tomb bringing the spices which they had prepared. But they found the stone rolled away from the tomb. Then they went in and did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. And it happened as they were greatly perplexed about this, that behold, two men stood by them in shining garments," and we know from other scriptures these were angels. "Then as they were afraid and bowed their faces to the earth, they said to them, 'Why do you seek the living among the dead? He is not here, but is risen. Remember how he spoke to you when he was still in Galilee, saying, The Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men, and be crucified, and the third day rise again. And they remembered his words. Then they returned from the tomb and told all these things to the 11 and to all the rest. It was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary the mother of James, and the other women with them, who told these things to the apostles. And their words seemed to them like idle tales, and they did not believe them. But Peter arose and ran to the tomb, and stooping down, he saw the linen clothes lying by themselves, and he departed, marveling to himself at what had happened. Now behold, two of them were traveling that same day to a village called Emmaus, which was 7 miles from Jerusalem. And they talked together of all these things which had happened. So it was, while they were conversed and reasoned, that Jesus himself drew near and went with them. But their eyes were restrained, so they did not know him. He said to them, "What kind of conversation is this that you have with one another as you walk and are sad?" Then one whose name was Cleopas answered and said to him, "Are you the only stranger in Jerusalem, and have you not known the things which happened there in these days?" And he said to them, "What things?" And they said to him, "The things concerning Jesus of Nazareth, who was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and crucified him. But we were hoping that it was he who was going to redeem Israel. Indeed, besides all this, today is the third day since these things happened. Yes, and certain women of our company who arrived at the tomb early astonished us. When they did not find his body, they came saying that they had also seen a vision of angels who said he was alive. And certain of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said. But him they did not see. Then he said to them, "O foolish ones and slow of heart to believe in all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not the Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory?" And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. Then they drew near to the village where they were going. And he indicated that he would have gone farther, but they constrained him, saying, "Abide with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is far spent." And he went in to stay with them. Now it came to pass, as he sat at the table with them, that he took bread, blessed and broke it, and gave it to them. Then their eyes were opened, and they knew him, and he vanished from their sight. And they said to one another, "Did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us on the road, and while he opened the scriptures to us?" So they rose up that very hour and returned to Jerusalem and found the 11 and those who were with them gathered together, saying, "The Lord is indeed risen and has appeared to Simon." And they told about the things that had happened on the road and how he was known to them in the breaking of bread. Now as they said these things, Jesus himself stood in the midst of them and said to them, "Peace to you." But they were terrified and frightened, and supposed they had seen a spirit. And he said to them, "Why are you troubled? And why do doubts arise in your hearts? Behold my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Handle me and see, for a spirit does not have flesh and bones, as you see I have." When he had said this, he showed them his hands and his feet. But while they still did not believe for joy and marveled, he said to them, "Have you any food here?" So they gave him a piece of broiled fish and some honeycomb, and he took it and ate it in their presence. Then he said to them, "These are the words which I spoke to you while I was still with you, that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms concerning me." And he opened their understanding that they might comprehend the scriptures. Then he said to them, "Thus it is written, and thus it was necessary for the Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And you are witnesses of these things. Behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry in the city of Jerusalem until you are endued with power from on high." And he led them out as far as Bethany. He lifted up his hands and blessed them. And now it came to pass while he blessed them that he was parted from them and carried up into heaven. And they worshipped him. and returned to Jerusalem with great joy, and were continually in the temple praising and blessing God. Amen. Now let me just make this very clear. If Jesus Christ did not rise from the grave, then everything that I have said up to this point is at best just my active, overactive imagination. If Jesus Christ did not rise up from the dead, at worst, this is a big fat lie. And we might as well just go home and eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we die. But as most of us in here know, those of us who have received Christ, and he lives in us by faith, we've experienced his promises firsthand. We know these things are true. We know beyond any doubt that Jesus Christ loves us. How do we know he loves us? Look at his nail-pierced hands. God demonstrated his own love toward us, and while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. That's all the evidence we need to know that he does love us. He willingly went to the cross. He took upon himself the wrath, the judgment that we deserve because all of us have sinned. We've all fallen short of the glory of God. He was perfect in every way. We deserved the beating. We deserved the crucifixion, but he willingly took it upon himself as the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. Those of us who have put our faith in him, we know he has forgiven us. We know he has washed the heavy burden of sin away. We've experienced for ourselves God's unconditional love, his indescribable joy, his peace, it says, that surpasses all understanding. Now, all I have to say about all this is nobody could ever experience that love, that joy, that peace, that comfort, that strength from a dead Messiah. A dead person is just that, dead. But our whole Christian life, our whole Christian faith, it swings on, it hinges on the fact that Jesus Christ is alive. And that's why the Apostle Peter calls the hope we have in heaven a living hope, because it's based on the fact that we have a living, risen Savior. If he stayed dead in the tomb, we're without hope. Now, here's another question I have for you. Have you received the risen Savior into your life? Or are you still believing in dead people? And what I mean by that is, are you still believing in following after dead people like Charles Darwin and the theory of evolution? What does that teach us? You live, you die, you become food for the worms and the bugs. Oh boy, where do I sign up? There's no hope in that. That's death. We have a living hope that's based on Jesus Christ. I mean, the bodies of Buddha, Muhammad, Lenin from Russia, Chairman Mao in China, Gandhi in India, their bodies are still dead and buried, or they've turned back to dust in some cases. Those religious and political spiritual leaders around us, they've come and gone over the years. They're still dead and buried, but we have a living hope in Jesus Christ who conquered the grave. He alone stands above all others, for he alone is victorious. He alone is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And he alone can fulfill all the promises that he has made us. And he's given us great and precious promises. The Bible tells us that all the promises of Jesus are yes and amen. In other words, everything that Jesus Christ says, and because it's Jesus Christ who makes these promises, we are guaranteed that they will all come true. Listen to some of these promises from God's word. Jesus says in John chapter 6, verse 37, "And the one who comes to me, I'll by no means cast out." In other words, if you come to Jesus, he's going to welcome you. He's not going to kick you out. He doesn't say, "I don't like you at all. Why even bother coming to me? You're just a loser." That's not him at all. He came to seek and to save losers like us. He came to seek and to save sinners like us. He came to seek and to save those that are lost. Luke chapter 19, verse 10. In Matthew 11, 28, he says, "Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden. I will give you rest." You're not going to find rest. You're not going to find peace. You're not going to find joy in the things of this world, in the relationships of this world that are contrary to God's word. You're only going to find this in a personal, intimate relationship with Jesus Christ. In John 10, verse 10, he says, "I have come that you might have life and that more abundantly." He came from heaven. He came to earth to give us everlasting life, abundant life in him. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5, and Matthew 28, verse 20, he says, I will never leave you, nor will I forsake you. This is once you come to Christ. He says, I'm with you always, even to the end of this age. He's with us every moment. That's why when we go through hardships, difficulties, trials and tribulations as a Christian, we're not alone. We're not abandoned. We're not sitting there saying, where'd you go, God? But we know he's right there with us, giving us victory, giving us strength, giving us hope to make it through. We all know John 3:16, for God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish. That means to be separated from God, destroyed by God. But you should not perish, but have everlasting life. And then in verse 17, it says, for God did not send his Son into this world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. That's why Jesus came. We're all under a cloud of condemnation. Each and every one of us had a cloud of condemnation, or maybe you still do, where you were guilty of sin. You got God's judgment hanging over your head. But when you come to Jesus, he removes that cloud once and for all. That's why Romans 8:1 says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. That's not what it is. Therefore, if you're in Christ, there's no condemnation to those who are in Christ. All that condemnation is blown away because of his grace and his mercy towards us. So in Revelation 3:20, Jesus says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone will hear my voice and open the door, I'll come into him. I'll dine with him and he with me. Just picture your heart as a door. You can keep it closed if you want. But Jesus is standing there, says, behold, I stand at the door of your heart. I'm knocking. He won't kick the door in, but he'll say, I'll stand there. I'll knock on the door of your heart for a time. Eventually, he'll leave. If you never want him, you don't want to be forgiven, you don't want the hope of heaven, he'll leave. But if you sense him knocking on the door of your heart, if anyone will open that door, he says, I'll come into him. I'll dine with him and he with me. In other words, I'll give you everlasting life. I'll give you a new beginning with God. I'll wash away all of your sins. John 1:12 says, as many as received him, to them he, Jesus, gave them the right to be called children of God, to those who believe in his name. So you have to receive him. Open the door. Believe in his name. Believe what he has done for you. He is the way, the truth, and the life, and you will have everlasting life. There's one more promise of Jesus that we always talk about on Easter Sunday. It's the promise that goes way over the top. It's a promise that if it was anybody but Jesus who made this promise, you'd say, that guy's an idiot. That guy's a whack job. You'd say that about me if I said this promise. But because it's Jesus that made this promise, you can say, wow, this is something I need to listen to. If he really conquered the grave, I better listen to this. He says, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. And then he asked the zillion-dollar question, because $1 trillion doesn't go anywhere today. He asked the zillion-dollar question, do you believe this? Three times in that verse he says, believe, believe, believe. Do you believe in him? Do you believe that he loves you? Do you believe that he died for you? Do you believe that if you're now in Christ, you'll never die? That means you're never going to be separated from God. Physically, yeah, you're going to die. We all do. But spiritually, we'll be with the Lord forever, because when Christ comes into your life, he brings your spirit that was once dead to life. That's why we can experience the love of God, the joy of Jesus, and the power of the Holy Spirit, because we're alive in Christ. Without Jesus, you're still dead in your sins. And you will die, and you'll be lost forever without him. But when he comes into your life, he forgives you of all of your sin. He makes you a new creation in Christ, where the old things pass away. Behold, all things become new. And then you experience a new life with Jesus from this day forward. And then when you die physically, instantly your spirit goes into heaven to be with the Lord. To be absent from the body, Paul says, is to be present with the Lord. That's why we have a living hope, because if I get shot, run over by a Mack truck, keel over, a heart attack, whatever, God can take me any way he wants. But at that very moment, when I take my last breath here on planet Earth, I'll take my first breath in his presence because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Do you believe this? That was his question. If not, why not? Realize God loves you. Realize he paid the price for you. He doesn't want you to die a sinner. He doesn't want you to be lost forever. He wants you to be in his presence, in his family, with him forever and ever. He doesn't want to see you live another day without Jesus. And God does not want to see you go another day burdened down with the heaviness of your guilt and shame because of your sin. And if you say, well, I'm not burdened down by my sin, then you got a callous, hard heart to God, and that's a dangerous place to be. Because the Holy Spirit came into the world to convict the world of sin, righteousness, judgment. We're all sinners. None of us are righteous. There's a judgment coming. And if you're like, I don't care, that's a sign that you are hard towards God. But if you sense him speaking to your heart, if you sense that knock on the door of your heart, the good news is God loves you. And he doesn't desire for any to perish, but for all to be come to repentance. And he wants to take you out of that place of utter darkness and separation from God, brought into his family. So God has provided the only way to be cleansed and forgiven of sin. He's provided the only way for a person to be changed from a lost sinner into a sanctified saint. He's provided the only way to be saved from God's wrath and brought into God's presence. And most of you know what that is, who it is. It's Jesus Christ. He is the way, the truth, and the life. He alone died on the cross and shed his blood as the perfect sacrifice for our sins. He alone paid the price to redeem us, a price that you and I could never pay. He alone rose from the dead in order to offer us everlasting life so that we could live with him forever and ever. That's glorious news. I don't know what else to tell you, but God loves you, and he wants to give you life. He created you for fellowship with him. That's why you're still on planet Earth today, because he wants you to be in fellowship with him forever and ever. You say no to him, and you'll be separated from him forever and ever. But he created you because he loves you, and he wants you in fellowship with him. So he's making the offer to you. The question is, will you receive it? Will you receive that offer of everlasting life? It's a free gift. The wages of sin is death. I worked really hard at sinning most of my, well, not most now, but for the first 21 years of my life, I worked really hard at sinning, and I know what I deserve. I earned a lot of death. That's what I deserve. But the free gift of God, he says, is everlasting life in Jesus Christ our Lord. It's a gift. It's wrapped up in Jesus. And all you have to do is receive him into your life, and you'll be forgiven. You'll be given new life, everlasting life, a new beginning with God. And when you know you've lived your life here and now, you have a promise of eternity with Jesus when your life on earth is finished. Sometimes it sounds too good to be true, and it would be, except for the fact that Jesus loves you. He died for you, and he's coming back soon. So the time to get right with God is before it's too late. Today would be a great day to get right with God. Let's close in a word of prayer. We have the worship team come up here. Worship the Lord. Think about this. I want to lead you in a prayer to receive Christ. I'll do that here after we sing this song. But let's go before the Lord in a word of prayer right now. Father, we thank you for this glorious day. We thank you for ministering to each one of us here. As believers, Lord, we are so thankful that you are alive. You're with us. You'll never leave us or forsake us. Lord, we have an eternal living hope in you. And we thank you, Jesus, that everything you said in the Word of God has come true. Many things you have said are coming true even now. And there's more things that you have said that will come true in the future. And based on your track record, we know that you love us. We know that you died for us. We know that you rose from the grave. We know you are coming back for us soon. And I pray all of our hearts would be ready to receive you, to go up with you when you call us home. Lord, I pray that our hearts would be stirred even now, and we would realize, as we look at you on the cross, those nail-pierced hands, you reach out to us in love, in grace, and with mercy. And you came off of that cross, put in a tomb, and you rose on the third day, and now you're here in our midst, desiring to set captives free, to heal broken hearts, to open up the eyes of the blind, and set at liberty those who are oppressed. And Lord, we know this is true because we see it in your word time and time again, your heart towards sinners like us. And I pray, Father, that you continue to work on each one of our hearts, draw us closer to you. I ask this in Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand together. We're going to sing this song, and then I want to lead you in a prayer if you want to receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior.
higher than the mountains that I face, stronger than the power of the grave, constant in the trial and the change. One thing remains: your love never fails, never gives up, it never runs out on me. Your love never fails, it never gives up, it never runs out on me. Your love never fails, it never gives up, it never runs out on me. Your love.
Actually, there's one more thing that remains. And that might be a decision on your part today to receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. He is our hope for everlasting life. Let's bow our hearts and our eyes and our heads before Jesus, closing our eyes, before the Lord right now. And I got a simple question. If there's someone here today, you want your sins forgiven? You want to know that when you die, you're going to go to heaven, have that living hope in Jesus? You want a new beginning with God, the one who created you, the one that loves you? You want to receive Him today as your Lord and Savior, knowing that from this moment on, He'll never leave you. He'll never forsake you, no matter how many times you've left Him and forsaken Him. If you want that this morning, if you want to be raised from the dead when your life is done, to stand in His presence forever, I just want you to raise your hand right now and raise it to the Lord. I see it, but God sees your heart more importantly. If there's anybody here, you want your sins forgiven. I see a man back over here on the side, girl right here. Anyone else? In the back? I'm going to have Aaron play the whatever part of this song he's going to play. And while he's playing this song at about half the sound, I want you guys to raise your hand to come forward, and I want to talk with you more about this decision you've made to receive Jesus. But pray this with me in your heart right now. Those that raise your hand, let's go before the Lord in a word of prayer. Pray this with me: to receive Jesus Christ, to be forgiven of all your sins, to have a new beginning with God, and to know that He is not ashamed of you, but He loves you. None of us deserve to go to heaven, but it's a free gift that He offers all of us. And for those of us who have received Him, what an amazing journey it is. What an amazing experience it is, walking hand in hand with the Creator of the universe and experiencing His love, His joy, His peace, His forgiveness. He accepts us just the way we are. So pray this with me right now. Just in the quietness of your heart, you can pray this to the Lord. Dear Heavenly Father, I acknowledge that I have sinned against You, but I thank You for sending Your Son Jesus to die on the cross in my place, to shed His blood for my sins. And I thank You, Jesus, for rising up from the grave. I thank You for being here with me right now. And I hear You knocking on the door of my heart. And so I open up that door and I receive You right now as my Lord and Savior. Thank You for coming into my life. Thank You, Lord, for forgiving me and washing me clean of all my sins. May Your love motivate me to live my life for You. I thank You, Jesus, for this new beginning. I commit my life to You now as my Lord and Savior. And it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.